February 14th, 1977, Gamble Rogers concert at Lake City Community College.
He tells me that he spends about 40 weeks out of the year traveling all over the southeastern United States. He's performed at most of the colleges in the state of Florida, many of the colleges all around the southeast, nightclubs, festivals, whatever. Gamble was a folk singer and a storyteller, and you just never know for sure exactly what you're going to get when Gamble gets started. So let's have a nice hand for Gamble Rogers this morning.
Thank you, Ed.
I had a gal, oh what a pal, and her name was Sadie Brown. I took her out, we'd walk about when the moon was shining down. And the dear little miss, she would give me a kiss, and then to her I would say, Sadie, my little lady, oh, won't you be my bride? Be married June and have a long honeymoon and settle down for life. Oh, Sadie, my little lady, oh, won't you be my ball and chain?
Guitar to which he had ingeniously affixed an electric guitar pickup
through the ingenious and indiscriminate use of lag bolts and roofing nails. He had a harmonica rack dangling about his neck with an A harp and a kazoo spot welded in place. He sat behind an instrument of his own manufacture called a footdella, consisting of a fruit crate with a washboard riveted to the starboard side, which he played with two drum brushes that were interconnected through a bizarre combination of third-class levers and pulleys to the foot mechanism of a drummer's sock cymbal. He'd sit back there and pick the foot dela, pick the guitar, play the harmonica, the kazoo, sing. About every 22 seconds, he'd be overwhelmed by the tedium implicit in this enterprise, and he'd jump up and do a little soft shoe. This is his most famous song. I know it's a folk song because it was recorded by Phoebe Snow, by Richie Havens, Tom Rush, Gate Mouth Simmons, Cale Yarborough, Burt Reynolds, and Elizabeth Ray. Go just like this. Accessory known to humankind on his county pursuit vehicle. He had Goodyear polyglass wide boot series 60 tires, a foot and a half wide, with the big white raised letters on the side of each tire. Said, Redneck. He had mag wheels, hooker headers, cherry bomb resonators, Delco airlift pleasurizers, spring shackles, tailpipe extensions, positive traction rear end, four-speed gear shift, an Edelbrock high-rise manifold, a Holley four-barrel carburetor, and Le Mans racing strut on his massive Ferguson tractor. He got off that thing, swaggered up to me, said, Boy, don't you be talking spiteful and nasty and mean at me like none of them hippy-dip communist punks come through here every day from Macon. Driving them Volkswagen microbotic buses with all them sleeping bags and chemical commodes in the bed of them like some kind of mobile orgy. I was writing out a ticket to one of them long-haired fruits. He leaned out the window, he say, Baby, give me 5 cheeseburgers and a Coke. I pulled him out of that contraption and chucked his butt through a Wake Up America billboard. This was some kind of heavy dude I was talking to. I'd say by the clothes he had on, he's a primitive man. He's wearing a breech clout made out of 2 frou-hawk mud flaps. Had on a styrofoam pith helmet with an STP decal on the front. Tom McCann penny loafers with quarters stuck in the top. And he was well armed in the tradition of the Georgia law. Over his bare chest, he had 2 .45 caliber bandolier belts with the cartridge loops alternately stuffed with half a temp of Jules and Slim Jims. A shoulder holster made out of a PF sneaker with a toe cut out. Carrying an axe handle, personally autographed by Lester Matthews. He say, Boy, I ain't gonna give you no ticket. You're a homeboy under that herd. Let you off with the traffic warning citation. Now, in DeKalb County, Georgia, those warning citations printed up in the form of bumper stickers. He went back and he got me a citation, peeled the brown paper off the back and licked it just one time. Slopped it over my car. I went back and read it and said, Eat more possum. I'd like to dedicate this art song to the DeKalb County Law. If you're ever up that way, be careful. They'll just flat tear you. One of them got me last night, as a matter of fact.
Ugly has an ambush breakfast.
in his face and slapped his mama. Boy ate so much pepper sauce and gopher stew that the outhouse crawled away. Oh, look out now. Sticking straight up there. Alan Shepard strapped down in the control chair and the space module on top of that mighty rocket. They're down in the bunker now. They're just about to commence the countdown. Chris Kraft steps up the microphone. He say 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ground zero. Blast off. They get that rocket electricity. That rocket rises through the clouds. It's going into the stratosphere. They radio up to Alan Shepard. They say, Alan, baby, are you all right, son? Alan Shepard radios back. He says, systems up here are A-okay and go, go, go. But I sure wish this big bird hadn't been put together by the lowest bidder. Now the lipstick sponsor's going insane. Zsa Zsa fell off the gantry crane. Autographed nose cone Revlon vest for Modern Cosmetics passed a new heat test. Friends, it's mighty important because we're all consumers here in the United States. Yes, sir, we live in a consumer economy, which means roughly the only way people like you and me can have a credit rating is we have to go down to the bank and borrow some money. Get in debt, get ahead. Overextension is a way of life. That's the gross side of the national product. We're also in a missile race and have been ever since the Ruskies sent up the first Sputnik in 1957. What do you suppose might have happened if right after World War II, some of our scientists and politicians and economic advisors had gotten together and decided that all of those ICBM missiles that had consumer potential that had been advertised, merchandised, cost plus, cost minus, market index, market analyzed, distributed, black marketed, sold under the table, reported in the Dow Jones Industrial. Well, by now, every American consumer would have a two-missile barrage just keeping up with the Schwartzes. Putting CB radio in the damn thing. Yes, sir, if we'd let the free enterprise system into the missile race in 1945, we'd have had Hojo Cola and Gideon Bible from Ramada on the moon by 1957. We'd have signs up there today saying Sea Rock City, Stucky 17 miles. Will nobody like the way I talk, so I went out and I took me a walk. I went to some institution, I got them to teach me elocution. How now, brown cow? Right now, green bull. You know, when I was coming along down there in Central Florida as a boy, we used to always sneak out to a funky little juke joint in the woods, a place called Club Eden.
place that featured some of those early roadshow review bands that have gone on to become the superstars of the 1970s. The Ike and Tina Turner Review, the B.B. King Show, and the hardest working man in American show business, James Brown. These people played the kind of music they referred to as boogie music. Well, I was no stranger to the old boogie myself. In fact, I played a pretty mean boogie on my ass. Well, I'll admit that ain't the way James Brown played. He'd come out there, those saxophones wailing, those drums pounding, those basses dropping. He'd throw that microphone stand down the floor. He'd throw his leg over top of it and say, please, please, please. The crowd go crazy. One time he's grumbling around and I said, please, please. A young woman jumped up and said, stop it, Jimmy, I can't stand it. He redoubled his efforts. She took off running through the room, ran slap into the wall, wide-eyed, knocked herself out. Now that's boogie. Instantly, I seized upon the inherent potential of this particular art form, and I boogied diligently. But I never could achieve the same results with my boogie that James Brown did with his. About the best I ever did was to get 2 Sigma Chi pledges to throw up in my guitar case at a college party. Then one time I'm knocking around in front of John Gentile's pawn shop on Church Street. This scabrous derelict comes creeping out of the alley, dragging a cracked Gibson guitar. He was the sorriest looking human baggage I've ever encountered. He looked like a spider in drag on the way to a penicillin transfusion. I said, who are you? He said, baby, I'm the boogie man. I said, well, ciao, baby. He said, shh. And then he choked down on those old rusty black diamond drugstore strings of his. And a sound something like this came out of his little guitar. I said, what do you call that now? He said, baby, I call that trotting the string. And all of a sudden I realized what the difference was between his boogie and my boogie. It weren't nothing in the world but just trotting them strings. Alligators ruffle some name. A little girl holding a sweater to the world. Made the alligators look tame. Poke salad at it. Gators got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame. Cause her mama was working on a chain gang. The truck patch, and she would pick her mess of poke salad dish, and she would carry it home in the tote sack. Poke salad Annie, Gator got your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, cause her mama was working on the chain gang. Strike those strings. Drinking that wine, sonny boy. You better stop drinking that wine, sonny boy. Woo, you know everybody's going out. Yes, everybody's moving and joining. You better stop drinking that wine, the sonny boy. Yes, 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 yeah. You
bit of stop. Do a nose up, sonny boy. You better stop. Do a nose up, sonny boy. Ooh, you know everybody's going out. Yes, everybody's moving and joining. You better stop. Do a nose up, sonny boy. Let's try those strings now. Thank you.
Drifter, the immortal Hank Williams, a man who left an imperishable legacy of music that jumped every cultural barrier. I got a feeling on the buzz all along since my baby said goodbye. I hear you think it all over. All I do is send a sign. Oh Lord, the livelong day she said goodbye. Oh Lord, I thought I would die. Yes, she'll do me, she'll do you. She's got the kind of love in me. I love you even when she comes with that. What a beautiful dream. Did you think it all over? I lost my heart, it seems. And I've grown so used to you somehow. And I'm the body sugar daddy now. And I'm alone, lonesome. I got the lovesick blues. They all congregate at a midnight strut, and what they do is tuck, tuck, tuck. Old Hannah Brown from across town gets full of gin and starts breaking them down. Just at the break of day, you can hear old Hannah say, give me a big book and a bottle of beer. It's in me. I feel just like I want a clown. Give the piano player a drink because he's bringing me down. He's got a rhythm. When he stomps his feet, he sends me right off my feet. Well, now check on your razors and your gun. We're gonna shimmy, shimmy, shimmy till the wagon come. Give me a reaper and a jigger of gin. Come on and play me like I'm in my sin. Yes, 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 yes. Williams, Merle Travis, and that last song was recorded in 1929 by Miss Bessie Smith, Queen of the Blues. So you see, ain't nothing too much new under the sun. Friend, it is often my privilege as a 20th century troubadour to visit abroad over the width and the breadth of this grand and glorious, this bountiful, beautiful, I'm so pleased to say no longer bicentennial, land of ours. It is often my privilege to visit north of the Mason-Dixon line, where I'm proud to say I'm always well received by my Yankee brethren. Well, every now and then some slack-jawed bimbo will come up and say, Bub, you're from down there, ain't you? I say, you're damn right, buddy. He say, Bub, tell me now, you got anything to do down there for laughs? We got loads to do for laughs where I come from. Most of the time, I was brought up in the Coochie Valley, Georgia. Once a year, the whole community would turn out and watch the police department paint the white line down the center of the road. Pretty heavy, it was a dirt road. We had a hard freeze in Habersham County one time. My whole end of the valley turned out to watch the volunteer fire department chop the dogs off the fire plug. But by far the most exciting event I've ever witnessed as a southerner in the great Southland was when, as a resident of Coconut Grove, Florida, I had a chance to witness with my very own eyes a phenomenon of modern times, the honey dipper. Possibly this bears some explanation. You'll see them glistening in plastic enfilade. Little truncated obelisks, each with a pyramidal roof, at the apex of which can be seen a lifting eye. Each with a private door, a door unrelieved by even so much as the traditional half-moon motif. A door upon which is emblazoned instead a racy commercial vulgarism such as Johnny on the spot, the only way to go. And these, ladies and gentlemen, are the portalettes of America, scourge of the rock festival. Truly an index to life and living in the age of enlightenment. Now, most of you are no doubt thinking, just as I did, that when the portalette contractor wins the bid and places the portalette on the construction job site, that his work is done. But no, this is just when his job begins. And this is where the honey dipper comes into play. Behold the honey dipper, a monstrous flatbed truck upon which is placed a crane with a 100-foot boom, a crane operated by an abject drunkard, a man with the cerebral propensity of a lobotomized angleworm. A man who is a retired kamikaze pilot for the Confederate Crop Dusters Association. And when the honey dipper would plow forth through the streets of our town, all the good old boys and the good old girls come bouncing outdoors, jump in their beach buggies and go coursing after the honey dipper, cheering the operator on a newer and greater exploits of aerial daring do. On this day of days, the honey dipper pulled up before a 17-story condominium with a portalette glistening grail-like at every station. The crane operator had a lusty dollop of booze, placed the bottle down, and solemnly wafted the primary portalette down to the bed of the honey dipper where it was summarily refreshed and returned to its prior situation. The second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, it was a ho-hum, humdrum affair. The crowd was becoming restless. They had not been given that for which they hungered, that for which their souls cried out. Excitement, fulfillment, show business. They were fulfilled at the 10th station, the crane operator totally drunk, his brain riddled with alcoholic fulminations reminding him of his days as a great stunt pilot, flung the 10th portalette down in a loop the loop. The crowd was up and cheering animals satisfied. He flung the 17th portalette down in the most dazzling array of aerial arabesques ever witnessed in South Florida. Loop the loops, lazy eights, barrel house rolls, a hammerhead stall, a perfect one-point landing, and at precisely the moment of impact, the door to the penultimate portalette was seen to come ajar, and a chalk-faced construction worker in a hard hat with a Playboy magazine over his knees fell out the dead faint. I get damn tired of people asking me if we got anything to do down home for life. We go watch the honey dipper. Now, I'd like to dedicate this song to the honey dipper operators of America, a race of heroes, and to the man who took that fateful ride, who in every way is a model of the free enterprise system. Just shortly after his ride, there was an article in the National Enquirer magazine. The resultant publicity enabled him to take out a small business loan in Washington. He's now manufacturing seat belts in Cincinnati. Made $1 million. Ladies and gentlemen, a song written by my good friend Don Dunaway about a battle that took place near Atlanta in the Civil War, a place called Kennesaw.
song tells of a time when the young men went off to fight, wearing uniforms sewn up by the women of the communities they represented. Uniforms of such color as to suggest the names of the regiments and the Home Guard, the Maury Grays, the Crimson Troopers, the Green Mountain Boys. A time when white man and red man alike believed that the warrior who heard the cry of the whippoorwill on the eve of battle go forth on the day following and meet his doom. I am but a simple man. I got no commands of the written word. I can only try to tell you of the things I've seen and heard. Forever etched upon my mind. The day hell broke loose just north of Mayretta along the Kennesaw line. Sun rose high above a satin morning on a clear and cloudless day. A peck of wood tapped upon a tree, the wood soon be blown away. Heat blistered down through the leaves on the trees, and the air seemed hot enough to catch fire. In the heavens seemed to be made of brass, and the sun rose higher and higher. And everything got real still and quiet. My old messmate Walter Hood, leave them boys on their ups up, and I know it's no damn good. Storm broke and swept down on us, and it rumbled through the hill. Walter sighed, dropped his rifle, says something to me about the whippoorwill. How many Doc Watson fans do we have in here this afternoon? Doc Watson is one of the greatest traditional guitar players we have in the United States. He and his son, Merle, appear all around the country. Besides being great musicians, they're gentlemen of the first water. They live in a place in North Carolina called Deep Gap, way up in the mountains near Boone and Lindell, up in God's country. This is a little song that I've made up to honor them, called the Deep Gap Salute.
Bring her on back now.
drinking. I'd like to do two or three things by Florida songwriters. We've got some good folk songwriters in the state of Florida. One of the best is a young man named Mike Smith, who lived in Ocala for some time, lives now in Chicago. But when he was in Ocala, he wrote his first song, which didn't exactly turn on the Marion County Chamber of Commerce. Little song entitled, I Don't Care If I Ever See One Damn Orange Again. But he's come a long way since then, and I think you'll agree when you hear this song by Mike Smith, Margaret and the Dutchman. The Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam. Holds his dreams in, but that's a secret only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam is golden in the summer, Margaret brings him breakfast. She believes him. He thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow. He's mad as he can be. But Margaret only sees that sometimes. Sometimes she sees her unborn children in his eyes. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes. His cap and coat are patched with love, and Margaret sewed in. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. And he watches tugboats down canals and calls out to them when he thinks he knows the captain. Till Margaret comes to fetch him home again through unforgiving streets to trip him. Oh, she holds his arm. Sometimes he thinks that he's alone and calls her name. With love that Margaret sewed in. Now the windmills whirl the winter in. She wears his muffler tighter. They sit in the kitchen. Some tea with whiskey keeps away the dew. For a moment calls her name. She makes the bed up singing some old love song. She learned it when the song was very new. He hums a line or two. They hum together in the dark. The Dutchman falls asleep and Margaret blows the candle out. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above. Long ago, I used to be a young man. Dear Margaret remembers that for me.
Grievously overserved by an apprentice bartender in Charlie's Bar and Package Store in Maitland, Florida. I can tell by the volcanic effusion of recognition, not too many of you good people ever tipple to Charlie. Charlie's right across the Howell Branch Road from the Maitland Turkey Farm. Well, nothing too exciting ever happened around the turkey farm. The most exciting event ever to transpire at that location involved an ex-high school classmate of mine who pulled up adjacent to the teeming turkey pens on the eve of Thanksgiving, leaned out of his rump-sprung Studebaker automobile and blew three authoritative blasts on a police whistle, causing the somnolent and semi-comatose birds amassed there in holiday preparedness to rouse themselves, poking their heads up periscope-wise to investigate the source of the disturbance, whereupon our young pilgrim leaned carefully out of his rusted chariot with an unplugged J.C. Higgins 10-gauge goose gun with which he slew 497 birds. This was referred to thereafter by the chroniclers of our community destiny as the Great Maitland Turkey Farm Massacre of 1953. Now, nothing too exciting ever happened across the road at Charlie's except when Harvey came in. Harvey was a prominent, devout, deeply committed, totally involved, commode-hugging drunk.
He dealt mainly in small change. He'd steal hood ornaments off Peterbilt diesels, they, and W. Root Beer parking lot and fence them at the Western Auto Store. He would dynamite catfish in copious commercial quantities in the Little Conallahatchie River and sell them in bulk to Howard Johnson.